I'm going to work today a little bit on a breslov of Mechias Amalek. Is that okay? Mm-hmm. Hope they don't misnagged him here. You can still run away. I won't have any kindness if you leave. But that's what we're going to talk about today. Mistam, if you're in the shi, you're not a misnagged. A breslov of Mechias Amalek. Because you know that Rabbi Nachman says in the second Torah that the Sheikh's not going to have to fire one shot, one bullet, right? Afilu yiriya achas. Not even one bullet. So we want and we need to get rid of Amalek. It's the Parsha, it's the Zman, it's the Avodah now. And there are different strategies. I'm just going to talk a little bit about Rabbi Nachman's. And even within Rabbi Nachman, there are different mahalachim. But there's just one that I want to talk about a little bit today. Sof kol sof, shuosam, the tachlis is shuosam hayisa lanetzach. And shuosam hayisa lanetzach is that we have to be menatzeach. We have to try to be menatzeach, to be victorious. Didon natzach, it's not just a song. It's not just about a library. The Baruch Shalom sent us into this world that we should be Jews that are menatzch. Even with him, that's chuni banai. That's something else. But he wants us to be menatzch, lenatzayach. And shuasam yisla natzach means that Purim is a special time where there's a gvaldig in the sinus koyach to be Jews who are menatzayach. Haman Amalek came lahashmid lahargil la'abed. Haman came to destroy us. Lahashmid lahargil la'abed. Not just beguf, but nefesh, mamish, to wipe us out completely. And didon natzach. Vanachnu kamnu v'nisoida. And we were victorious. So the question is how to be menatzeach. What's the shirish of the koyach hanitzachon by a Jew? What's the shirish of being a winner? Of being a Jew who's a menatzeach? And whatever that melchemes Amalek is now and how it's manifested now and in your life and in my life and the world bichlal, ha'ikar lenatzeach, that's the ikar, is to be menatzeach. What's the sheresh of Nitzach? So we just began last week one of the Sipuri Maisis, the seventh story of Rabbi Nachman. The story of the Maisi from the Zvuv and the Akovich, the fly and the spider. Mitzvah Shem, in those discussions we're going to go into Barichus or Ba'aymik. But here, just a little taste just now from that story that we just started. Because the story is about a melech who was a bal nitzach. It's about a king who was menatzeach. That's how the story begins. That there was a king who was koivesh, who conquered different medinas, different place, countries. He was menatzeach. And he made every year a ball, a big mishta, a big party, on the anniversary of his nitzachon, his conquest. And Rabbi Nachman tells the story that how at that party, at the ball, there were all kinds of comedians, comedia, he says. We already started that last week. And the sachkanim, actors and comedians. And as such people often do, they were impersonating, they were imitating different people from different places, different nationalities. That's a common theme by acting and by comedians. And the impersonations included, of course, copying the nimusim, their mannerisms. Every nationality, they have certain mannerisms, right? Shtick. They have different mannerisms. I remember 42 years ago, I got stuck in England for 2 weeks. I was coming from Israel back to the States, and it was a stopover in London. I couldn't get a flight out. There was a strike. And I got stuck in London for 2 weeks. And I was talking to this guy after shul, like the first day that I was there. And I told him a joke, like I thought it was pretty funny. And not only did I tell him a joke, like I whacked him on the back. And this guy looked like he was like horrified. First of all, he didn't get the joke at all, which is, that makes you uncomfortable, right? Like that's awkward afterwards. And it was like completely didn't register, or like just looked. And then the fact that I hit him on the back, I guess in England, that they don't do that. They don't do that. They don't hit you on the back when you think something's funny. In general, it's very, very, struck me as a place that's very, very dry and humorless. They have their own sense of humor, Mistam. Same thing if you talk to a Russian and you tell them an American joke. A lot of times it's guidance, you know. Jews have a certain sense of humor of our own. I thought that guy in England would get it, but he didn't seem to get that either. Every nationality has its own nimusim, its own culture, and so on. So Rav Nachman says that these comedians, these actors, are making fun. And the king asked to be brought a big book. And this book is a book that contains within it fat book with the different nationalities and their nimusim, their discussion of each of these countries and things that are particular in the mannerisms of the people, their clothing and their dress and their speech and so on. And those who know the story, the Hemshech, I'm not going into it now, but the Hemshech that happened over there on the page, on the side of the page of the book. There was an Indian that was going on, that there was a spider that was creeping up to be able to catch a zvuv, a fly. And the melech, the story, Rabbi Nachman was on to say how the king was watching this spider and fly and this dance that was going on the side of the book, and he was leafing through, looking at it. Every time the spider was just catching up to the zvuv, then there was a ruach that came and blew the page down and saved the fly. In the meantime, the king falls asleep. He's misnamne. Misnamne doesn't mean mamish sleeping. It means like what you do in class. You understand? Mamish sleep. It's misnamne. Nim v'loy nim, it's called. A little bit like that. So the king was misnamne. I mean in English class. I don't mean in the Kurdish. So the king was misnam, name Allah Sefer, and he had a cholam, he had a dream, and in the dream somebody was trying to kill him. And in the dream, somehow, every time that he was in danger of getting killed, the daf of the Sefer, there was a page of the book, that same book, with all the nations, there was a page of the book that rescued him somehow, that blew away the one who was threatening him. So he was protected by the daf of the sefer. He was protected by the daf of the sefer. And then it says, "V'rotzo ma'od ladas, eizadaf." He wanted very much to know, "Eizadaf shel nimusim shel eiza uma mogin alav." He was curious. Which nation? Which the page of which nation is the one that's saving his life every time? It was while in reality, the fly was threatened by the spider, the king is being threatened. Is being threatened by a Amalek. We'll talk about that when we learn the story. By the spider, which is a Amalek. By that Koch of Ra, the king is being threatened. And he wanted to see which page was it. This is a cholam, and the same thing's going on with the spider and the fly. But in his cholam with him, and he wants to see which ummah, which nation is it? Rotsa Mardodas, Eza Dav Shal Nimusim Shal Eza Umma Magin Love. Then it says, Rakish his oyer. So when he woke up, and this was really weird what was going on with the book, and in his dream, k'shehis oirer, histakel v'rosh hazadav sheksuvim bo hanimusim shel Yisrael. One of the nations, one of the nationalities that they were imitating and making fun and making jokes was Jews. And when he woke up, it was clear to him that the page that was rescuing the Zvuvan, that was rescuing him, was the entry of Yisrael. It has in it Yisrael. V'istakel b'daf bein ha'emes, and the king studied this page bein ha'emes in a deep way. Be'iun rav, he studied this page. You're following everybody? All right? Yeah? He studied this page be'iun rav bein ha'emes. V'roh ha'emes la'amita, and it dawned upon him, it was clear to him, the truth of truths, the emes la'amita. V'heven shumuchrach li'es Yisrael, he understood that only Yisrael could have possibly saved him. Only the page of Yisrael could possibly have saved him from the spider, from Ra, which is Amalek, that was seeking to destroy him. Ad kan l'inyanenu. There's more in the story, but l'inyanenu, that's enough for now. Rosh Hashem, in the Shia, we'll continue on to learn the story. So it's not long. So of course this is Amoik, Miyim Tse'ana. The story is, even this little piece of it, which is the beginning, is very, very, very deep. And the emissaries will try to learn it till the end of the Zman, but you can learn it for years, what this story is. But let's talk about it bepshitas, very simply. In this light of Nitzachim, of being victorious, of Chuasam Ha'isil HaNetzach, Nitzchis, Nitzachim. The Gemara itself asks, what's the Ikar HaNeis? What was the turning point in Shushan HaBira? B'layla lo nadu d'shnas HaMelech. You want to sit down, guys? You have seats. You have to come, relax. The Baladeh Harris, I don't want to make a thing. Okay, so the Gemara talks about that the king had insomnia that night, right? Say that. But if we were to talk about the site of the Nitzachim, what pasuk in the Megillah captures, summarizes the sod of the Nitzachim? Well, everybody has their favorite. What would any of you suggest would be the pasuk? Tell me your favorite. But what's the pasuk that contains with the sod of a Jew being victorious in this world? To me, it always seemed that the pasuk of Psukim in the Megillah, you could disagree with me, I just want to explain my way of looking at this, is Ish Yehudi Haya B'Shushan HaBir. So, here we have Psukim of Gula that we say out loud, that's one of them. Ish Yehudi Haya B'Shushan HaBir. Shmai Mardechai V'Chul. Ish Yehudi Haya B'Shushan HaBir. The Metzius of an Ish Yehudi, there was a Jew. It doesn't say Sadek Haya B'Shushan HaBir. In the Baruch Hashem, that's a big tzaddik. It doesn't say one of the Chavrei Sanhedrin Haya B'Shushan HaBir. The Manig, the Gadol Hador. It says Ish Yehudi. An Ish Yehudi. A Yiddish Mensch. Ayid, Ish Yehudi. This mitzvah of an Ish Yehudi, which I'm going to explain, this mitzvah of an Ish Yehudi is the koach to be menatzeich in this world. In Ish Yehudi. What do I mean by that? I mean absolutely nothing fancy at all. I mean, vata tetzav es bnei Yisrael. The simple, the pashtus of living a Jewish life. The book was a book of nimusim that contained the unique behavior of the Jewish people. the unique behavior of the Jewish people means that we wash negel vaser, we say birchas hashachar, be careful to tie our shoes that it should be in the way of halacha, be careful to make sure that our talis cotton is worn and that the knots are closed properly. Those are the nimusim of Yisrael. Again, talk very posh. Those are the nimusim, the mannerisms, the unique mannerisms of the Jewish people. The halachas, the hanhagas, are the daf hamagen, like Rabbi Nachman calls in this story, the page that protects. The daf hamagen, that protective shield, the iron dome of a Jew, is to be an ish Yehudi. K'maisho, an ish Yehudi. I'm not talking about Kabbalah. I'm not even talking about the daf yomi, which is part of the nimusim of Am Yisrael. I once had this chus many years ago. I was in Toronto for a day because there was one of the chevre from shul. His father had been nifter, and there was a yahrzeit shiur. Family was from Toronto, and he asked me to come to Toronto there to give a shiur. I covered his father's yahrzeit, nice date. By Rav there, it's Rabbi Marcus Olivashom. He was the son-in-law of Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik. It's Rabbi Aaron's son-in-law. And he was telling me some maisim about Rabbi Aaron. And he said that you know that Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik had a terrible stroke, the Amish. He was a fire, he was a lion, but then he had this stroke and he went on teaching Torah, even though it was very, very, very painful to watch. It was similar to like if you saw Rav Nosson Tzvi Olivashalom. It was almost hard to watch. And it affected his mind also, and his body was totally out of whack. I saw him during that time a few shiurim. I heard from him a few. So Rabbi Marcus told me that his father-in-law was going through intensive physical therapy after the stroke, and he came in to the rehab one morning to visit Rabbi Marcus. And he said that the Rabbi Aaron, I told this to a couple of guys last week, the Rabbi Aaron was sitting and was learning, he was in bed or something, he was learning Gemara Brachas. And the Gemara Brachas is a fine Gemara, it's the beginning of Shas. But you would never catch a brisker in public learning Masechta Brachas. It's like, that's for other people. It's not, briskers learn Zavachim HaMenachas, other Masechtas. But Brachas is like, you know, elementary. And he was surprised to see, he never saw his father over the Masechta Brachas, and he saw that he's learning Brachas. They all know Brachas, they just don't let anybody catch them looking at it. And he saw he was learning Brachas, and Rabbi Marcus asked him, like, Brachas? So his father-in-law told him, Rabbi Aaron said, it's the Daf Yomi, today's Daf Yomi. We're in Brachas now, the Daf Yomi. Daf Yomi by a brisker? It's also like, no brisk would ever admit to such a thing, to learn that Daf Yomi. So Marcus said, Daf Yomi? So Rabbi Aaron said, I used to be Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik, and I was known as a Lamdan in places, but after my stroke, I'm trying to be just an Elecha Balabas, a God-fearing Balabais, a God-fearing Jew. A God-fearing Jew should learn the Daf Yomi. That's what he said. And he didn't say it with any bitterness. He said, that's what I am now. I used to be a Rabbi Soloveitchik. Now I'm just Aaron, a Balabas. And a good Balabas should try to learn Daf Yomi every day. That's what he was learning. Starting from Aleph again. Gevaldige Meis, if you think about it. It's an unbelievably inspiring story. The Daf HaMogein, the Nimusim, every kehillah, Sfaradish kehillahs, and among the Sfaradim, the Syrians, and the Persians, and the Taimanim, and the Moroccans, and among the Ashkenazim, and the Chassidim, and the Lifshitzim, and the German Jews, and the Hungarian Jews, all the nimusim that are so sweet and so beautiful, so unbelievably beautiful, the nimusim that every kehillah has. The worst thing to do is to tamper with somebody's Messiah, not to ever tamper. Because the nimusim that every kehillah has, that all Jews have from where they come, so beautiful. A lot of it's getting lost here in America. These nimusim, these hanhagis. Of course, the halachas are halachas, but the hanhagis, the nusach, the zmiris. There's a guy that I know was telling me that he was away from home. He was on some business trip, and they set him up. He spent Shabbos with a Moroccan family. He was in Paris, and he spent Shabbos with the Moroccan family. He said they were very, very simple people, wealthy people, but in terms of their knowledge of Yiddishkeit, very, very simple. He said Friday night they were singing Zemiris, he said, till 4 in the morning. They were singing Zemiris. Till 4 in the morning they were singing Zemiris. And he said, they're not stopped singing. You should have seen what's going on over there. They're like wild. The Zemiris. And, you know, this time of the year, the meal was like at 6 o'clock, 6:30. Going like, how is the Zemiris? To be Meshamech, to be Mefayer, Zama, to the Boy Oilam for 5-6 hours like that. I don't know what they're doing. He said, it was hard for him, but he said it was very, very beautiful. The Nimusim of Jews, Ish Yehudi Hayyab Shushan Abir. Ish Yehudi Hayyabe, that's in Shushan, the Ish Yehudi Hayyabe, wherever the beer is, wherever he comes from. So I'm talking about even the Chitzayis, even the Hanhagis, the Menhagim, the Zemiris of the Ish Yehudi, somehow have the ability to protect us from the poison of the spider. The poison of the spider. That's where we see the Tzaddikim, especially the Chassam Sofer, other tzaddikim, Reb Shamshel Hirsch in Europe, how they fought so much against any change in the hanhagis, in the menhagim, even the menhagim of, not just in the shul, but in the shul it was like, any to change menhagim in the shul. You have people that they could change, they want to change them in the shul. You'll forgive me, I'm saying this with respect. Come here, Shabbos, when I'm here, I see people davening, facing some other thing. I don't care which Talmud Chacham is doing it. You turn your face away from the Aron Kodesh. I was here in this building 40 years ago. My Rebbe Abdul Lifshitz faced the Aron Kodesh. He didn't go on an angle. Again, I'm not saying I don't know who started that, and I don't mean Khalil. I'm avatar myself to all the time I'm over here that I'm off of mamish. But I never was in my life in a shul where Jews turn like this to the Aron Kodesh. And the Bachum who want to be frumer, they go on a stronger angle. I'm sure the Talmud Chacham that said that it's not exactly Mizrach, and there is, I understand, I know the Shittas in that Indian. I know, so I'm sure that the Talmud Chacham maybe gives a little bit of a knetch like this, but to Bachim, of course, they have to go. So the Aron Kodesh is over here. In my life, I was never in such a place. Who was Mechadish such a thing? There's somebody in this building that's smarter than the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer also davened in shuls where it wasn't exactly Mizrach. Try to find out the Chassam Sofer ever turned his back to an Aron Kodesh, his shoulder to an Aron Kodesh. Who says the halach of Mizrach is more important than the simple feeling the Jew has that you look at the Aron Kodesh with the panim el panim, not that you turn your shoulder to the Aron Kodesh? Never in my life saw such bezayinus. Where were you ever in a base medrash on earth where you saw Jews not facing the Aron Kodesh? Half of the Aron Kodesh is on earth are not Mizrach, by the way. You know that. There are a lot of them that are not Mizrach. Without going into that whole thing and how could that be? Why do they build it that way? Many shuls are not Mizrach. Say that. Tzarech iyun. And if it would be the other way that you turn, so you should maybe with your back should go to Aron Kodesh. Whoever heard of such a thing, making a sideways to an Aron Kodesh? Somebody came up with such a thing, and I'm sure it was a very big person. But I'm sure that big person maybe made a little bit of a connection, like this tiny little bit, an adjustment. And even then, I never saw it anywhere else. I never saw it anywhere else. That's already you're tampering with that mitzvah that's called Ish Yehudi. And the tzaddikim are very, very, very careful with every single minig of the Jewish people, with every nusach, with every zmiris, with every anhagah. And we don't understand why is that, but somehow, when the spider comes after your soul, that a malach is after to grab the fly, to swallow up the soul, or the king was in danger of his life, that somehow the king woke up and he looked inside the book of mannerisms and he saw that the emes la'amita. He saw the emes la'amita. The emes la'amita was Shumuchach Lius Yisrael, that the Nimusim of Am Yisrael is what saved him. That the mannerisms of the Ish Yehudi Hayy B'Shushan Abir. And what's amazing is with Rabbi Nachman himself. Rabbi Nachman was Rosen de Rosen, Genizen de Genizen, was the deepest, most hidden person on earth in the universe, Rabbi Nachman. Every word that he said, every tnu, every gesture, was filled with the deepest secrets of creation. It says in Shifchei Rad Lamed Gimel about this person. We would sometimes hear it come out from Rabbi Nachman's mouth, a lashon of hishtoikekus, of longing and kisufim. It was what? Ech zoichen liyos Yehudi. Ech zoichen liyos Yehudi. How can one be zoiche to be a yid? Ech zoichen liyos Yehudi. Va'omazois be'emes u'betmimes gadol. And Rabbi Nachman would say this with such truth and such tamimis and pashtas. Kilo we hadn't yet even started being a Jew. Ah, how could I be zoich to be a yid? And they saw this from him a number of times, such a thing. Eich zoich is you. And this very same person, Rabbi Nachman Schuselena, with all of the hasagas that he was mastering, such hasagas neiros, the way Rabbi Nosson and the other ones who were by him speak about his hasagas, and that's only what he revealed his hasagas. Something that they were trying to figure out, and that this they were trying to understand, his hasagas. After everything, with all of his hasagas, he always expressed his longing to be a yid, to be a Jew. Like to be his etzin and his in the tzavazir on his 40th birthday. I want to be a Jew. I see. I already learned a lot. What could I do for my 40th? I already learning. I do yetzara. I don't have. That's what he says. I'm not bothered with the yetzara. That's what he said. But so what could I do? He says I want to be a Jew. I want to convert to become a Jew. An ish yehudi. And that's why it's interesting. In Davka in Breslov. You have this in other by other Jews as well, but very strong in Breslov. The emphasis on the Nimusim of Yisrael. For instance, Rabbi Nachman said that you should sing all the Zemiras that are printed in the Siddur. And if you would ask, Rabbi Nachman, which Siddur, he'd say, no, whatever your Siddur is, whatever the Zemiras, sing whatever the Zemiras are in the Siddur. He's a single. And in Breslov, they go through the Zemiras. Most people, everybody has their favorite zemer or two, but in Breslov, the Hanhagas are saying Tillim, a lot of Tillim. A fellow came up to me this morning after the davening. He said he's getting married soon. Do I have an Eitz HaTayva? I said, hey, say Tillim. He thought maybe I was going to say, stand on your head during Kiddush Levana, light a Shemen Zayis or something. Why don't you say Tillim before Yechasna, which is Shemus at Tzadikim and so on. Then you know, in Breslov, you see this very, very, very strong. The Ish Yehudi, the Hanhagas, Pshutas of a Jew, together with all of the Hasagas, but Ish Yehudi. There's a minig by Chassidim of Breslov, again, I don't know if this is a little bit by the younger ones, maybe slipping away, but there's a minig, but for the old Breslov Chassidim, to this day, that they didn't leave their talis and tefillin on the table in shul, even if they daven there every day, they didn't leave it on the table in the shtender. They would carry it back and forth from the house. They went to the talis and tefillin. How did such a thing begin? Like, why can't you leave it in shul? It's safe and everybody. It's the same. You daven there tomorrow, so why can't you leave it in shul? So I saw that in a sefer that once Rabbi Nachman was speaking about the deep rotzen that he had and hope that he had that Hashem would send him a son. You know, they had to die. I mean, Hashem would send him a child, a son. And he said, Hayisi merutza shili bein. When I'm davening and asking Hashem that I should have a son, I would be satisfied. Listen to the words. Hayisa Maruso Shieli Bain, Afshirak Yelik Lebes HaKnesset Samatal Svatul. Even would be such a Jew that what he does is that he walks the shul back and forth with his talent. When I say, in other words, I'm davening for a son, I'm not davening that he has to be Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky. Yes? I'm davening that he should be a Jew, a Yid, like a kind of a Jew that you see, he walks with his talent. He carries his talent. People don't even want to do that anymore. They want to get it, it has a strap on it. You know, you see what's going on. Then, by your children, it's going to be that you're going to hire a guy to carry it for them. Now it's already became a strap, so your hand should be free. I don't know how that's why that's so hard. Carrying a talis tefillin for so many years now. I have a strap. Ravozner wrote very strong against it. He had even in halachas a certain inyan. Again, if you have it, enjoy it. I'm not saying it's an aveira, and I don't mean to make anybody feel bad. And don't go tomorrow and say, "Hi, you got a strap." None of that stuff. You already spent the money, then you use it till it dies. The strap till it falls off or something. But what? So carrying talis tefillin, he says, I would be merutz of this. Ha'ikah sheyeli ben, just a child, and he talis tefillin. So ad hayom, there's an inyan by breast of a chassidim that every single day they carry the talis tefillin. They saw that the tzaddik saw a chain that in shemayim, obviously saw that the Baruch Shalom has hana when he looks down, so to speak, and he sees Eden going to shul back and forth with talis tefillin. The Baruch Shalom has pleasure from seeing Jews with their talis tefillin. Not with the lockers and the other things. He has a pleasure like that. Okay, where do you see such a thing? Can you bring a raya for this? There's a certain chush that Jews have. And Rabbi Nachman knew such a thing. But there isn't anything like this. So there are two parts to this, of course. There's the Ish and there's the Yehudi. Zemoisha Ish. The Ish, of course, means that the Rebbeinu Shalom wants us to do our best to be people that have hasagas, that learn in a deep way, and that are people that are sophisticated and intelligent and learned. And he wants us to ask questions and to try to understand all of the anhagas. And you could ask all kinds of kashas about what direction should you face when the oven is not exactly mizuch. And you could learn the sugya. But at the end, face the same way that Yezedi faced. Do you understand? You look at this. You face the same way your grandfather faced, because he did it the same way his grandfather faced, and that's how you do it, because that's what it means to be an Ish Yehudi. And you're never ever going to go wrong in Shemayim like that after 120. But I certainly would not want to be one of the guys that gets there after 120, and a malach says, "What's the story with you over there? With that, what are you facing the wrong way? Be with everybody else that faces the right way." And even if they say it's wrong, because there's alumnus to say that I'd rather be with the rest of the chevra. First of all, they're much more fun to be with. Like the regular chevra, they don't have a million diyukim and everything. It's much more fun. It's more pleasurable to be with. Usually the kugel tastes much better by that chevra. You understand what I'm talking about? I hope you understand. It's much more geschmack to be with people like that. The medaktikim are usually not so much fun to be with. It's like hitting the guy in England on the back. You understand? It's a similar inyan. The medaktikim are usually not so much fun to be with. I'm not saying people should be mekel and halach chas v'chalil, but the medaktikim, like when you get a guy that he's careful every mapikay, you know, they get like a balkar like that. You get stuck. You ever get stuck with a balkar like that? He thinks like he's the medak or something, some kind of a baldiktik, and he starts with making all kinds of things and all kinds of strange noises and sounds. Yeah, when I was in Yerushalayim, so I went to a certain place. I was having a Shabbos Vesik and had this Balkari. First of all, the parasha took such a long time, the way he was laying it. And he was making such crazy emphasis. He wanted to be like to take certain Teimanish sounds and the ayins. He's an Ashkenazi. And how the Israelis, Bechlal, the ones that the Haredish Israelis, when they have an Ashkenaz, how Baruch Ator. They don't just say Baruch Ator, they Baruch. Because that's not how they talk. They talk Baruch Ator. But when they're davening, it comes out very strong. Elokeinu melech ha'olam, asher kidishonu b'mitzvot sov. It's very strong. It's not fun to be with chevra like that. I mean, they're beautiful, and I love them, and everything like that. But I don't like. I like a balkar that's just regular. Let's get moving. Say every word, and if you miss a mapake, it's okay. And then in every shul, you have the guy that screams out to stop. This place that I davened in, this place where I was davening Vasigan, there was the oilam there, the davening was like mamish felt like Tisha B'Av. It was so completely lifeless. And the only time that there was any sign that anybody was alive was that Balkara, the big Baldikpik. He said a tseir instead of a segol. Which word was it? One of the words, like ben instead of bane. I don't remember. He made a mistake. And then all of a sudden, this old guy screams out, segol! Segol! And the Balkari says, ma? It's a segol! He says, ma! Eze, ma! And the guy says, shoite! Segel. And everybody starts yelling at the guy, Segel. And then he read it over again. He didn't know which word. What did I do wrong? So I finished davening, but like by Elena, I was already, you know, by Enkel Kano, I was already getting out of there. It's like, you know, there are places like that. The only time that they say Shantel Alechem is by Kiddush Levon, you know what I'm saying? There are certain places like that. It's not Kishmar. The Nimusim and the Anhagis and the Gishmak of the Yid is when he lives as an Ish Yehud. So Hashem wants us to be Ish, to be people that learn and understand and go through, but to be Ish Yehudi. That's my favorite pasuk in the Megillah. My second favorite pasuk, which is the same sugya, because the whole Megillah is this story. Mordechai lo yichrov lo yishtachave. Right? You like that pasuk too? Mordechai lo yichrov lo yishtachave. The whole world's bowing down to Haman. Everybody's afraid of him. Amalek. Mordechai lo yichrov lo yishtachave. Jews don't bow down to Goyim. A Jew doesn't bow down to a Malik. Mordechai lo yichrov lo yishtachave. It's a funny thing. The Davka, I've always seen growing up that those Jews that they live as in Ish Yehudi with that pashas of the Zayd and the Elta Zaydis and the Babis and so on, living in that way, there are always Jews who are like Karim v'lo mishtachave. That they don't bow down. When you get the ones that consider themselves the muskal, the big maskilim, and they think it means a certain way, you see how they start to bow down to other people's ritzinas. The big maskilim are the ones that, yeah, that's a woman could dance with a safe tire and someone's tire. The anai haskal, there's haskal like that. You never saw that by Ish Yehudi. And Ish Yehudi is la yichur la yishtachve. Azayda tatis kefir. This is the way we live. This is what it means to be a Jew. I'm not bowing down. I don't change. That's the page that protects a Jew. What's the inyan of a Yehudi? Of lo yichur yishtachve. Where does that kerah come from? So we see a lot in Rabbi Nachman's Torahs, and we see a lot, especially by Rabbi Nosson, that every seichel tachton, that's what Rabbi Nachman, Rabbi Nosson call it, seichel tachton, sometimes chochmat haTorah. That even though this minhag looks like it's a seichel tachton, right? Looks like it's no big thing. There's a minhag to after Havdalah when you put the candle in the right and you put out the candles. First of all, there's a minhag like that to put out after the candle with the to put down this front, put it out with the wine, and also to take a little bit. There are minhagim, right? Like this, you've seen it. So seichel tachton. You ask somebody, what is that? What kind of a minig is that? It looks like it's a seichel tachton, like it's a lower inin of seichel. It's not. There doesn't seem to be any deep significance or meaning in it. But Rabbi Nosson always wrote about how every seichel tachton of a Jew is mushrish b'seichel elyon b'chachmi ilah. The sherish of every single hanhaga. There's a minig to smell the havdalah candle after you put out the fire. Every single hanhaga, even though it appears to us as a seichel tachton, it's a lower seichel. shorish of it is in the sech is in the Chochmi law. The Rashba writes in the Tshuva that you should never make fun of the Hanhagas of the Jewish women. They have all kinds of things that they do, because every one of these Hanhagas has shorashim, deep, deep roots, and something high. In the Sechel Elyon. So now we could understand on our level a little bit. Shuasam Hayisal Netzach, Visikvasam Machol Dor Vador, Shakol Kaivecha Layavosha Layikamul Netzach. Shakol Kaivecha, all those who have hope in Hashem, Layavosha will not give up, Layikamul Netzach, Lanetzach, Lanetzach. I'll never give up. Reb Nosson writes in Hilchos Shabbos Vav. Hilchos Shabbos Vav. His dik is to be a Jew that's layichav liyistach v'nish Yehudi, that's makava, that has hope in Hashem and never gives up hope. She wasn't my Yisrael Netzach v'sikvasam v'chol davada kol kreivecha. All those who are hoping Hashem lo yavosh will come l'netzach. Nitzchis, nitzachin. Rabbi Nosson writes over there, he's talking about something with a boat, with the agadita, and then he says, Hainu ha-Torah. We see in Chazal that the Torah is referred to, is alluded to by a boat, by a svina, by a boat. Hainu ha-Torah shenikras svina. The Torah is called a boat. Like you say, Neshes Chayil, like the merchants go from place to place. So too, the Torah is very, very big, and Talmidei Chachamim go all around. The Torah is referred to as a boat. Why? So Rabbi Nosson writes there in Shabbos Vav. Rabbi Nosson writes, Ki Olam Hazeh Hu Yam Soyer V'Zoyev, because this world is a raging ocean. Soer, stormy ocean. Zoef, Amish. This world is an ocean, stormy ocean. V'kashi yochol kol odem lohoven benafshoi. Manasi imoy b'zeh ha'olam. Any person who thinks about what his life is in this world realizes that it's mamish, a crazy, wild, raging ocean. That's what life is in this world. Every day, the ocean is like he's in danger of drowning in the ocean. That's what this world is. The lava is zeh ha'olam, to be able to make it through this world intact, not drowning. They always talk, they used to use the lotion of surfing on the web. I don't know if they still use that. That's how they used to speak about it originally. Like, I think when they saw that very few people are actually surfing, most people are just drowning, that they stopped using that lotion. In the beginning, when it was a little bit less filth, they called it surfing. Kilo, you know, you could. It's nice, because when you surf, you know, it's nice. But already by now, they don't bother with that. Everybody's drowning. So, Rabbi Nosson says, the lava zeha olam, to cross over this world, to pass through this world as a Jew. Shubachinas yam soer. The world is a yam soer. It's a stormy ocean. Shvichim leze svina chazaka ma'oid. For that, you need a very, very powerful boat, a very sturdy boat, a boat that doesn't have any cracks or holes. Svina chazaka ma'oid. And that boat is the Torah Kedosh. Is the Torah. That's the boat. Therefore, when a Jew is medabik himself with all of his strength, not only to limud haTorah, but to all the nimusim, to the book of the Jewish people, and all the nimusim and the hanhagis and the halachis of Am Yisrael, when you medabik yourself to that boat, a boat that is la yichav la yishtachra, that doesn't bend in every wind that comes along, because now there's a wind of feminism, so we have to make the feminists happy, then we have to make that and to change that, that it should say in the siddur, it should say, or like that what I mentioned before, to give a safe Torah, a simple start, because there's a wind that came along and now the boat is already going to crash, going to break, because the ocean is strong. That a boat should be a boat of lo yichur lo yishtach, strong, powerful, sturdy boat that can make it through the storms of this world. That's only through all the nimusim, the book of Am Yisrael. It's kimu v'kiblu Yehuda, kimu v'kiblu Yehuda, kimu v'kiblu kabbalas haTorah that took place at Purim, kabbalas haTorah lo yichur lo yishtach. Kabbalas haTorah that no matter what's going to happen to us in Golus, we're not going to let go. Achastiv lo arpenu. I'm going to hold on to this book of all the nimusim and all the anhogas and everything that Jews do, of what it means to be an ish Yehudi hayah b'shushan abir. What that means. And therefore, when a person comes to the tachlis of that yontiv of Purim, he's in a place that's called Adaliyada. Adaliyada. Adaliyada means that I let go of my having to understand everything. And I delight in the pashtus of being an ish Yehudi. That moment when even the biggest Talmud Chacham in the world is the same, is dancing together and looks the same as the simplest Jew in the world, Adaliyada. Because at the end of the day, the Jews who make it across the ocean of this world are the Jews of Adaliyada. The big Bali Deyas, they never made it. Already we find in the Shem Amun Makad, when we find that he was one of the survivors, he lived through the Spanish Inquisition. And he said that the ones who did not give in, the Jews who did not convert, and they either died al Kiddush Hashem, or they ran away, or they got out of Spain and Portugal. He said, were the simple Jews and the women and the children. But the big thinkers, the philosophers, they converted. Many of them, he said, not all. Many of them converted. The Yoda Jews converted. It's interesting. The Adal Yodaniks didn't convert. They died al Kiddush Hashem. The Adal Yodaniks. But the Yoidim, to make a measurement in the shul of what angle is Yushalayim here in the shul, the ocean you don't cross like that. Because the book tells us how to get across the ocean. I don't understand it. It's a seichel tachta. I don't know. I know that this is what my father did, that after Havdalah, that's what he did. I know that this is how we davened in a shul. And I know that this is a boat that's been traveling across the ocean for thousands of years. So why should I go in some fancy looking like rowboat that's going to get broken the first time a wave comes? Because that's what happens with all these things. The second the wave comes, it falls apart. When I say those words, I always think it's also why it's a favorite pasuk of mine, because my father's al gezunt zayin, his name is Mordechai. And that's my way of the way that I was raised, and what I saw and what I see in my father is an ish Yehudi. Every Shabbos morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, sits by the window and says Tilum until shul. From 5 o'clock until whatever it is, 8 o'clock, 8:30, he's saying Tilum. You don't see that by the professors of Psalms, you understand? You don't see that by the professors, the ones who are the Yoidim. It's by the Adal Yoda Yin that you see such a thing. Not that he's not learning, but the Adal Yoda Yidin, you see such a thing. Vad zikna nihu, the stay of the Kodesh Baruch Hu in such a way. So I'll end with also something from Rabbi Nachman. One time it says, they asked Rabbi Nachman, Hamacha Shalu was Rabbi. One time they asked Rabbi Nachman, Eich zoichim lios Yehudi kosha. How is one zoichim to be a kosher Yid, to be a kosher Jew? Eich zoichim lios Yehudi kosha. So they asked Rabbi Nachman, Eich zoichim lios Yehudi kosha. Rabbi Nachman said one word. He said, I don't know if it was in Hebrew or in Yiddish, but he said, Kach. In Yiddish, sorry. He said, Kach. That was his answer. Eich zoich mene yis yudi kasha. Rabbi Nachman's answer? Sorry. Kach. Like this. Kach. So among the Chassidim, there are two pshatim in there. What did Rabbi Nachman mean when he said the big question of life? Ech zorchim is Yehudi Kosh. He says, Kach. The first explanation is what we were just learning. Kach. Just do whatever you to be a kosher yid means to take your talis and tefillin means to be a kosher yid. Do whatever it says in that big book. Kach. Sing the zmiras. Don't be such a chacham. Be a tam. Kach. That's the first pshat. Eich zochni yasi di kosher. Kach. Like this. And it was like this, like what we do. Kach. That's true. Of course that answer is true. But there are others who said a deeper answer. That's true. There are others who said that kach means the way to be zarech to be kosher yid. And he answered, they asked him, how are you zarech to be kosher yid? He said, kach is the way to be zarech to be a kosher yid is by your entire life asking yourself, ich eskel yos yehudi kosher. Kach means by asking that question. Ich zarech Rebbe, ich zarech me yos yehudi kosher, kach. Just keep on asking that question. How can I be zeuchim in my life to be a kosher yid? Not to slug up my Rebbe. Not to be smarter than my chavrusa. Ask this question. Always to be that kisufin and neshtoikikus, like Rabbi Nachman himself was always, what I said before, he always had it, he was always saying, how could I be zarech to be kosher yid? That question, not the question that's asked for an answer, you understand? Eich zarechim, Rabbi Shalom, help me, show me, teach me. I want to be a kosher yid. How could I be zarech to be an ish yehudi? Kach. Keep on asking that question and thinking about the words when you ask that question. When was the last time we asked ourselves that question? Not how could I be yoytzei this din? Not how will it look in the eyes of others? But be'emes, be'emes. That question itself is the answer to the question we began with. How to be menetzeach? How to be victorious? Had to be a bal nitzachim. To be a person that's menatzeach the milchama between ourselves and the spider and Amalek. It's by constantly being a Jew that wants to find out that has a kisuf. How could he be zeuchet to be eich zeuchni yos yehudi kosher? Both of these answers are. Both of these pshatim and kach are very deep and very true. There's a chasna that. He was going shopping with his future father to get his new talisim and the talis bags and everything. It's a lot of fun. It's exciting. And he asked me, he called me up to ask me, what kind of a talis should I get? So I said, get preferably with strings and with everything, the knots and strings. And he asked me, what kind of talis? So he said, should I get one that's all white? I said, well, you're not a Sephardi. Why do you want to get one that's all white? There's something cool about the all white talis, isn't it? Do you ever go to shul? You see sometimes there's a guy that has like, he wants to be like Yosef's coat. You ever see that? You get those like colorful talis. Get that out of your head. Such things out of your head. Not that you have it in your head. Get that stuff out of your head. Ashkenazim wear talis like this. Sfaradim wear like that. Kach. Azoy. Madua, but I like the talis that's purple and green and orange and yellow. I like it. And when I come to the shul, you know, I get a lot of attention like that, and I crave that very deeply. You know, I want everybody to be able to see that I have a special talis. How come your father, your Zaydi, didn't wear that? How come the Chassam Sofer, the Baal Shem, and the Vilna Gaon didn't wear such a talis? If you're Sfaradi, then you wear to have such a strong Kabbalah like that to wear talis that's white. You're not a Sfaradi. And you're an Ashkenazi, and we're talis that have black stripes. Why? What's the meaning of the black stripes? A sechel tachta. I don't know. Even though there's an Inyan in it. I don't know. He didn't ask me that. He's very poshut. Exactly. But what's the need of having black stripes on your talis? A seichel tachton. But you know that seichel tachton is very deeply rooted in the seichel elyon. And the seichel has to do with the shurish of the neshama of a Jew that comes from Ashkenazi countries. And by the svardim, it's davkinin of lovin. And it has to do with the colors. Then the part is you want of the Ramak if you want to have a seichel elyon. Why is it? Who are svardim? They're all Jews, but why? It was the shurish of a svardim. It was the shurish of an Ashkenazi. Why is it the svardim wear white and Ashkenazi wear black? It has to do with chacham and bina. And it has to do with different colors that are in the sefer. The Ramak explains in the Padis Yomad. But as far as we're concerned, we don't have to look in the Ramak. We're not up to that. I would have to see that the Indian was the different colors. All I know is this is how we kach. A talis. I'm an Ashkenazi. It's black and white. I'm a Sephardi. It's white. Same thing. A Sephardi wants to look. He thinks it's cool to wear black and white. He likes those stripes or something. What are you messing with that? What did your grandfather wear? What did your grandfather wear? All white. That's what you should wear. Finished. No chachmas. That's what it means to be a Jew. And in that, what seems to be very, very simple thing that we just spoke about, is hidden sod hanitzachon, the secret of our victory. Sod hanitzachon. Hashem Yisbarach should help us that we should be strong and be victorious Jews. That we travel on this boat and we make it to the shore. We're otot, we already can see the shore. It's not far away. We already can see the shore. It's mamish nearby. So we just have to stay tight, hold tight in the boat, and we'll get to the shore. And from there we'll already be able to go beregel to Yerushalayim. We should be zeichet, should be sum the blush of Amitis, maybe Amen.
Amen. Kabir is some yakat,